It's Golf DMV, another fabulous episode of the podcast and radio show. And all over the media, by the way, as well. I mean, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Highlighting golf in D.C., Maryland, Virginia, and beyond. Brought to you in part, by the way, by Cachet Spine Sports. Check out the website, CachetSpineSports.com. Cachet spelled C-A-S-H-A-E. SpineSports.com. The official chiropractor, by the way, of Golf DMV.
Do they have a phone number?
Not prepared to. Oh, yes, they do. 240-219-8974. I'll say that again, just in case anyone wants to take out a pen and a pad or their cell phone. 240-219-8975. And that voice you heard right there about the phone number, that's LB. LB, what's up?
Hey.
We've got Vern here. Vern, what's going on?
What's happening?
LB, by the way, have you visited Cachet Spine Sports at all recently? I mean,
It's been a couple. I went the week of New Year's, a couple days before New Year's. It was my last visit. So
make sure the back was straight for the party.
Yes. I needed all of that back. It is about time for me to go back and revisit that situation.
All right. Got a lot happening today. A lot to talk about. We've got some Century Tour stuff with the Manny Millions we got to talk about. Pete Dye passed away recently. We'll talk about him. The Sony Open, Patrick Reed stuff. Vern had some breakthrough lessons, and we'll talk about that. Well, you know what? Actually, and then you guys played at Falls Road. 70 degrees in January.
Yes.
Yeah. And
no Vern, global warming. No global warming. Nothing to see here.
Maybe the climate's changing. Vern and LB went out to play Falls Road. So I want to talk about in the rundown, I have Falls Road first, but I want to do that second because I want to talk about Vern's lessons with Ryan Chaney over at Blue Mash.
Yeah.
So you booked some lessons with Ryan Chaney, then we're going to talk about the round after the lessons.
Okay.
So talk a little bit about Ryan Chaney, the lessons, and all that stuff.
Right. So I'll try to keep this brief because there's an Instagram post out there. I don't want to get the Rick situation from Claude where like 2 weeks from now he's like, LB. Vern, I'm gonna shut the bleep up about this lessons. He's still scoring bad. I don't want to hear it anymore. I got it. No. So I booked a lesson with Ryan. I've been following him on social media for a while, and like I said in an Instagram post, like his posts were unique in that they weren't, you know, I don't know, a lot of people, I mean, instructors got to do what they got to do. They put out tip videos, but he speaks very candidly about players' abilities and what instructors need to be doing. And I appreciated his candor. And you should just go check out his page for yourself. I don't want to prejudice you. I think it's very good. It's very direct. So I like this coaching style, one. I like the things he was talking about technically, too. A lot of, like, you know, very impact-centric stuff.
Which has been what you've been all about.
Chasing that forever. Exactly. And so I finally booked a lesson at Blue Mash for, I think, this past Friday. I tried to book it for Monday, and he wisely said, no, Blue Mash is always 15 degrees colder than advertised temperature, because it was like 52 degrees Monday.
Oh, wow.
And that was a good call by him, because Friday was supposed to be 56, and we got out there, and we were like fully bundled up with gloves on and everything.
Yeah.
So anyway, I booked a 90-minute lesson with him for Friday. I went out there, and yeah, this impact position of like a downward, like a descending blow, not to get too technical, that I had been chasing for like 7 or 8 years. I was like, this is what I want to do. He said, cool. Swung a couple times, look at some video. He was like, all right, do this drill. I do the drill. And then like on the third one, he was like, here you go. And he shows me, look, there you go, right there. Do that 1,000 more times. I'm paraphrasing. Do that 1,000 more times. Don't mess it up. And cool. Can we get out of here? It's cold. No, he didn't say that. But basically he got to the root of it and like 15 minutes after being there with one drill. And then after that, everything else was a discussion about the right arm and the stuff that I was working on and everything else. So I was very happy with that. I was happy. I picked him correctly because his style wasn't, he wasn't like, oh, you know, you're doing a great, I don't know. Hey, listen.
That's not what you want. It's like, listen, if I'm trash, just say, this is garbage, right?
You guys were at basketball games the other day supporting Sherm, right? Yep. You notice like
Pilates High School.
A good coach knows what each player needs. Like my dad says this all the time. Guy goes to the layup line, misses. One guy, when he misses, you got to say, hey, man, it's all right. You can do better next time. I'm not that guy. You got to come out and be like, you can be off the team if you mess the next time. His style is a little bit different, but it worked. And this drill, he got me hitting with a downward strike like almost immediately. So I shared it with LB. After we record, I'm gonna show it to Claude and we're going to talk about like some of the principles behind it. But
let me say that I like that about Vern, because some guys get these tips and
they won't even tell you they're taking lessons, let alone show you anything that they've learned.
Right, they won't tell you, and then they're doing it's like, well, what's that? I was just working working on something. My guy told me, sharing the wealth is a, because you don't have to. I mean,
but we would talk bad about him if he did.
Yeah, sure.
I appreciate you sharing.
And also, it's more fun when everybody's playing well.
Right.
Yeah. And so
you noticed the difference like immediately once you started this.
So when doing the drill, obviously it's a little bit difficult, because it's like you have to open your hand and do these chips in a sort of a weird way. Mm-hmm. But the accomplishing the drill was different, and I hit like a couple of clean chips, and I'm like, okay, these feel okay. Mm-hmm. But when he showed me on camera, mm-hmm. which you can go to our Instagram feed with Golf DMV Podcast on IG, mm-hmm. at Golf DMV Podcast, you'll see a picture where I put my previous impact, which is the club all like parallel and behind the ball and scooping, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and like two swings later, like I'm hitting with a descending blow and I have that nice sort of downer strike with a little mm-hmm. reverse K. So when I saw that on camera, again, I can't stress to you enough how many hours I've spent filming myself on mm-hmm. the range, trying mm-hmm. to hit this position, can't get it. And in like 10 minutes, I was like, oh my goodness. Right. I started to think I couldn't do it.
It can't be possible.
Hey, right. I joked with Claude some time ago that I was going to buy left-handed clubs the next season and start over again.
Lefty.
Because I was beginning to wonder if I could even do it. So lessons are great. Again, if you Ryan Chaney, I think, .com, just go at Ryan Chaney on golf on Instagram. Check out his post, his website's in his bio and everything. Just check him out. He might not be for you.
Yeah.
But
Vern brings up a great point. Like, you know, I feel like if you're going to spend a lot of money on lessons, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like the first initial thing you should do is purchase, you know, maybe a half hour or 45 minutes or whatever with an instructor. And don't book a lot of them. Just one.
Right. Just buy one.
Right. And just see if you guys are connecting, if you understand what he's telling you, you know what I mean? Because there are some things that one instructor would tell me that wouldn't make sense. Mm-hmm. And then when I went to John Ross at Golf Tech, I understood what he was saying. Right, but it's just the way, you know.
Different styles of communication.
Yeah, you just connect with people differently. Mm-hmm. So, like, literally don't buy a bunch of lessons with one instructor mm-hmm. until you're sure that this guy,
that's the right guy,
speaks your language.
Right. For me, it was, like, because I had lessons in the past. It's not like I, mm-hmm. you know, even though I troubleshot as much as I could by myself, in previous lessons, guys would, like, listen to me. I'd be like, hey, impact. And I would just go through the whole spiel, yada, yada, yada. And they'd be like, okay, cool. Hit this ball. Okay. I'm going to hit a ball. And it'd be like a pull or a slice. And they'd be like, and they would just start trying to work to fix the ball.
Fix that. Right.
And then, like, I'm like, okay, cool. So
we're done.
We're done. He just completely ignored me. I told him what I wanted.
Right.
And he went and he said, cool.
Let's start with your grip.
Yeah, it's like, he was like, no, cool. Exactly this. Yeah. We didn't touch anything else. Set up, stance, anything. Mm-hmm. So that part was good. So it was a good time. And some of the results showed today. I think LB will tell you mm-hmm. when he starts reviewing the round. Mm-hmm. So.
Now, one thing also, you talked about how Ryan, you know, you were hitting a lot of things with your pitching wedge.
Yes.
And that's one thing I always wondered. Like, mm-hmm. why do a lot of instructors, and maybe we can ask one, but like the first thing it says, okay, take some shots, warm up. Okay, take out your 7-iron. I'm like, oh, here we go. Like, my whole game needs work. Like, why are we starting there? Like, let's start a 9-iron. Let's work our way up the bag. Right. Why are we starting right there in the middle with the 7-iron? And I'm sure there's a reason. I mean, I'm not distracted.
I've always thought it was just because it's in the middle of the set.
Okay.
You know, that's my assumption. Yeah, now, it shouldn't be the entire round. I mean, the entire lesson maybe shouldn't be about that.
Right.
But like LB said, if they're going to do like, hey, I just want to get like a look at your stock swing, mm-hmm. they're going to pick like a favorable short iron to mm-hmm. to get it with or whatever.
But you guys spent some time with the pitching wedge.
I did. Yeah. Yeah. He got some stock swings on the 7 and then we moved to this drill, I think, to the pitching wedge. And maybe I tried it on the 9-iron and that's kind of where we stayed. And it was like, yeah, you know, mm-hmm. basically you need to master this at the lower clubs and then get your hand around the club and then start moving up the bag and everything else. He gave me a whole bunch of details. There's like a coaching app he has or whatever that he films the sessions and mm-hmm. puts them in there. And that's the other thing too. When you take a lesson, just so you know, you take a lesson with them. It's not like, one, he saved me some money because we did the drill and then like, it's cold out there. And he's like, well, cool. I can watch you hit. We got to like an hour mm-hmm. and he's like, I can watch you hit for another 30 minutes. But you know, if you're good, then you know, if you understand mm-hmm. what you need to do, we can call it. And I was like, yeah, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
It's cold as hell, man. Blue match. But, so one, you know, cause he couldn't let it go,
right.
which I would've been fine with. But, and then also in this app, he will continue to post notes. Like you're supposed to upload videos. He gives you detailed instructions on how he wants you to film yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then post videos up into this app and he'll give you feedback. So it's not just like a one and done, like, cool, do this.
See you. I'll see you next time.
See you next time. Right. Yeah.
Right. Are you planning to do more with them?
Absolutely. I'm gonna get this thing down first to a point where like I think I hit a wall, and then I'll keep going.
Nice. Sounds like it was very beneficial, and you enjoyed it.
I did.
There you go, absolutely. Ryan Chaney, right out there in Blue Mash. So, from the lessons to your first round post lessons, Falls Road, Sunday morning in January. It's almost 70 degrees outside.
Ridiculous.
Exactly. So
I've been talking about. I'll let LB start.
Yeah. So we got there. It was car path only. And
did we get a lot of rain? We got some rain.
The storm came through last night.
Right.
So yeah. I will post video. By the time you hear this, there will be video posted of how soggy it actually was. It was very soggy.
Falls Road doesn't drain well.
Well, it rained. I mean, it was a good storm that came through yesterday. It was the one that came from, I looked it on the map one time. It was from the Gulf of Mexico up past Maine into Canada.
Good night.
Wow. That was the length of the storm. Whew. So, yeah, the whole basic country got all of that. So it was soggy. And there is no car path only at Falls Road. You're either walking or you're in a cart.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we walked. I brought my little pull cart with me, playing the head. So we're just burning out. Rick couldn't go because his ankle hadn't healed, and then Reggie probably was drinking too much last night. And he didn't want to get up.
He bailed out early.
Real early. So it was just the two of us, and the crowd was very sparse at least at first when we got there. Yep. It was nobody there hardly. It
was what time was it?
9:38 or something like that.
And it was unseasonably warm for that time of morning too. It wasn't like it got hot at 2 o'clock.
It was like 60 degrees.
It was warm.
Morning.
Exactly.
So it was a twosome in front of us, a male and female in front of us, and a twosome behind us. But we never caught the twosome in front of us, and the guys behind us never caught us.
Okay.
Yep.
So we played at a pretty good place. I think we got done at 3:30.
Yeah. Less than that. Maybe 3:15.
So as far as the golf itself, it was actually pretty good. After the first hole, we both went out of bounds, I think, the first hole.
Yeah.
And after that, we was on. I mean, the drives were really good. Vern's iron play was really on point to that.
My drives are trash, but
mine were better. I decided today that I'm going to actually do what Brendan had told me to do, 8 months ago now. So I decided.
8 months after the lesson, I'm just going to do what he told me to do.
I'm going to try that and see if it works.
Well, the idea is he wants to look the part when he goes to see him. Show off his shambles.
Right. Oh, because you got the lessons coming up with him. So it's like, I might as well start implementing what he told me to do the last time I was with him.
Right. Yeah. I think I'm doing it the whole time.
Exactly. This is dumbfounding, but it actually works.
How about it? What the instructor told you to do. It works.
So a lot of my irons were very straight. I mean, a couple of them I came up a little bit short in distance wise, but I didn't wasn't shanking and pulling stuff left and right. They normally went within 10 yards of where I was aiming.
Nice.
Right. How about that? Yeah. Who knew? Who knew? Right, if you just follow the guy's direction, it could actually work.
Gosh, we make this game so hard.
I know.
You take these lessons, we pay people money. Like, honestly, and I was thinking about the other day, we spend all this money and travel to go see Paul Wilson and stuff. I can probably point out 3 or 4 things that he said.
All that
money spent.
Am I doing it?
Probably not. And even out of what he said, I probably remember 3 or 4 things.
LB's driver was on point today, too. Don't say yourself short of that. He was crushing that driver.
It was very,
and you were just doing what Brendan told you.
Doing what Brendan had told me all along. And the driver was straight. Even, like I say, my irons, I was more happy with my irons than I was with my drives today. Because my drive sometimes it has its days.
Right.
You know, my irons are more fickle than my driver.
Right.
But today, my irons, and I was usually in the fairway, so I'm hitting, 7, 8 irons, and they were, again, within 10 yards of where I was aiming.
Yeah.
I hit a lot of greens on my second shot. So I'm like, wow, look at this.
Nice. Looking like a golfer.
And at the start of the round, he's in his usual, in the usual mood. I was like, oh, would you keep a score? I'm not keeping a score. I'm just out here.
Right. Because it was so soft. The first hole.
Yeah, it didn't go.
It was like, whoosh, whoosh. Yeah. I mean, it was unbelievably soggy. I'm like, this is going to be just a slosh round. Ain't no use in keeping score with this.
Right. Yep.
And as soon as I said that, everything stopped popping.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. How was the putting?
Putting was, it was better. It was better. A lot of the greens, some greens were soggy, some greens were dry.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So it was kind of, it was hit and miss. I would take today's round any day, as far as ball striking.
Mm-hmm.
I'd take this every day of the week.
Nice. Yeah. Feeling good about the game. Okay.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But again, I'll go play tomorrow and I'll be back to what I was the day before.
But today we feel good.
Today I feel good.
That's all we can take. That's all we can do.
Today is a W.
So, Vern, post lesson, first round after the lesson, that seemed to change. LB said you were striking the irons. How'd it go?
Yeah, striking the irons much better.
Is that a new shirt, by the way?
This one, I don't think so. I've worn it before, but I've worn like once before.
Okay. No, it's fresh. Go ahead. Yes.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, so striking the irons better. And I think the biggest thing, since we're focusing on impact and the drill seems to center around like small chips and pitches and everything else and getting your impact dialed in there, I didn't duff any of my chips. Some of them came up short. Right, I had poor distance control on some, but no duffs at all. Which
there's some times where that's your Achilles heel where you're driving a ball straight and your long irons are going good and you're 40 yards from the pin.
Six.
And then it takes two or three chips.
Chip, putt, putt.
It's amazing how that happens, but you were feeling good about that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Feeling good. And the impact drills definitely helped the chipping. Like the
impact drills has helped the chipping too.
Yeah, so since it's a short swing drill, the shorter the swing, the easier it is for me to replicate.
Okay.
So on chips and pitches or whatever, I was feeling good, but it did replicate to some of the iron shots. Early on, I was dialed in hitting greens, and I scrambled like four or five times today, which is like a record for me.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's some putting help there too, but the only thing that was off for me today was the driver. The driver was terrible because I was trying to implement some of the stuff, and maybe it doesn't work with the driver, so I'm not going to focus on that just yet, but I want to get this dialed in with the irons first. So.
Okay. But Falls Road in good condition? I mean, it's one of our
courses we like for January. It's beautiful. The greens are, you know, like brown and different color,
of course.
You know, some are green, some are brown, green, whatever. And they apparently have, they just basically put two holes in
two tee boxes.
Tee box as well, but even on the greens, there are two holes, and basically they're going to alternate. They alternate the flag. That's what we were supposed to have been doing today.
What's that?
We should have been taking that flag out of the one hole and put it into the other hole.
Really?
Yeah, that's what sometimes the winter courses, they'll put two holes on the greens.
Okay.
And every time you take that instead of, well, this is before we used to play with the flag in. When you take the flag out, instead of laying it down, you would take it and put it into the other hole.
Oh, stick it in the other hole.
So basically they have two holes on each green. And I'm assuming that's just for the winter.
Right.
That way they don't have to keep plugging the holes.
That makes sense.
While it's out of season.
Yeah, while it's out of season.
Okay. Yeah.
That makes sense.
So, yeah. But
okay.
Yeah.
Did you guys keep score or not?
17. Okay. 17 over for me.
Oh, yeah. Sweet. I didn't keep score, but I probably was not too far behind him.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Because
I
had. If at all.
Yeah, I know I had like four pars in a row at one point. Yeah.
Nice. But after today's round, you guys feel like golfers. You feel like, I feel good. I'm getting this.
Yeah. 100%. I really, now I want to go hit some more just to see if I can keep doing what I was doing today.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it probably won't, but still, it'll be nice to dream.
Yeah.
It would be nice to dream, right? Let's move on to the Manny Millions from last week from the Century Championship because, again, at the time, they're in Hawaii. By the way, which is cool. I didn't mind golf in prime time.
Oh, I love golf in prime time.
I'm kicking back up to watching the PGA Tour now.
Yeah.
I don't mind it starting around 6, 7 o'clock and watching until the nighttime. That's fine. But by the time we recorded last week on Sunday, the tournament wasn't over yet.
Because
I woke up to probably 15 text messages on my phone from you guys because I didn't know. So part of what I do as far as media, there's a station I do some early morning work for. And so I'm up usually at 3:45. And so so I went to sleep before this was over.
Right.
Yeah. And then I get up and I'm looking at all this stuff, Patrick Reed and JT. And then we'll talk about what one gracious fan yelled while Patrick was putting. And I want to talk about the greatness of that moment for that person. Why that person is my favorite person now. Right. Whoever that guy is. I'll talk about why he's my favorite.
Okay.
But let's do the Manny Millions first, then we'll talk about the playoff and the win.
Okay. So last week's Manny Million at the Century Tournament of Champions, which is actually a par 73. I don't know if you noticed that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
We talked about that briefly. I haven't had a chance to do any research, but par 73, how often does it happen?
Yeah.
What are the rules? Can we make a par 75? I mean, what are the rules? Can we? I mean, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
But anyway. Okay, so this last week.
That was at Kapalua, right?
Kapalua, yeah. Was the last week winner, or first place, last place winner, however you want to look at that, Martin Trainer. He finished plus 18. And because this was the Tournament of Champions, have you guess on this part. He got $64,000 for coming in last place.
Okay.
Wow. Well, yeah, it wasn't a big field.
Right.
It was a small
like 100
field.
And something
right.
People
and,
or
right. No? And it was, you had to have one in order to play in that from the previous season.
Right.
And he actually won the Puerto Rican Open. That's how he got into
that. Qualified him for this.
For this.
Okay. Okay. All right.
So Martin, he is 6'1", 175 pounds. He's 28 years old, and he is single, ladies, if you're listening. He was born in France, but he lives in Palo Alto, California. He's a USC graduate of 2013. So, like I said, he got in the tournament by winning the Puerto Rican Open. So we'll I'm going to give you some stuff about him, and then we're going to you can do his career earnings.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm.
Now, just pay attention. I'm trying to help you guys this time.
Now, I'm going to look away because the book's open. I can kind of see the numbers. Okay. I don't want to hit a Patrick Reed. I don't want to cheat.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So I'm going to look towards the screen.
I'm
going
to guard it with my hand so you can't see if you want to. All right. So, again, he came out of USC at 2013.
Uh-huh.
So that's not that long ago.
Been a pro for almost 7 years.
Mm-hmm. So he played on the PGA Tour Latino America for 2014.
Okay.
Then he played on the Corn Ferry Tour for 2017.
Huh.
And then the PGA, he got on PGA at 2018.
So last 2 years.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. So here we go. He's played in 33 events.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
He only made 9 cuts.
Mm.
Okay.
And he only has that one win, which was the what?
Central. Puerto Rican Open.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm paying attention.
Okay.
Puerto Rican Open.
Okay. All right.
I'm about to lose.
Right. Okay, so he has 9 cuts. Out of those 9 cuts, he has no second place, no third places, no top tens, except for the one that he won.
Gotcha.
Okay.
And that's the Puerto Rican Open.
Right.
How much is his career earnings?
My losing answer, because I always lose these, will be $1.5
million. $1.5 million. I'm going to say $750,000.
Damn, Vern. It's $756,000.
No! Are you serious?
Oh. The price is right. You know,
a new car.
Good night.
That's why I kept saying the Puerto Rican Open. The Puerto Rican Open.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I missed so badly that last time. I was like, no, I know this is under a million. Yeah, yeah.
So that's him. A little bit about him. His mother is, his father's American. His mother's from France. That's why he speaks French. Now, here's where it gets interesting for me, at least. His hobbies include studying sitcoms.
Oh.
Riding bikes and hiking.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when I saw studying sitcoms, I'm like,
what is this?
You're right. Who studies sitcoms?
Right.
Well, the person who studies sitcoms is a person who might have an idea of wanting to create a golf-centric sitcom.
Oh, so he's got aspirations outside of that.
Aspirations out there. So maybe we need to contact him. Because we have a platform.
We have plenty of content.
We got material.
Yeah, we got material for you, brother. All you need to do is write us a check.
Yeah, we're right. And we're right for you. We'll write the episodes.
We'll do whatever you need, man. Yeah. Just write the check, brother. And
we're going to write Rick McCormick into this show.
Oh, absolutely.
There's got to be a Rick McCormick
character
in this show. Earlier, with the century, we're going to run out of time in this segment. So why don't we talk about Pete Dye, passed away, course designer. I didn't know he was as old as he
Yeah.
You know, what was it, 90 something like that? Yeah, 94.
Yeah.
And so there would, here's one thing that's cool about like the Golf Channel and like Golf Magazine and following these people on social media is that you kind of get how important or the landscape of, you know, golf and things that from architecture and course design that I would not have known unless it's on a television somewhere
or on
social media, because it's something I just don't research, don't dive
go look at the life
deep
story.
Into. Yeah, right. Absolutely. And kudos to all the folks who were writing about him, reminiscing and sharing what his life was all about. Because I learned a lot about him in golf course.
Yeah. Right. I watched, they had like a 10-minute video, videography, I guess, of Pete. It was pretty interesting. And we have one of his son's courses here locally, actually, PB Dye, in Frederick. Well, I guess it's Urbana.
Yeah.
Urbana, actually. And even the Sawgrass, the TPC Sawgrass that we're going to be playing, watch the tournament on in March.
Right.
He designed that course. That's one of his masterpieces.
That the island.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. So he did, I thought I wrote it down, but was it Whistling Straits?
Yes.
Or something up that way. Yeah, it's about 4 or 5 courses that are in the tournament, in the normal schedule of the PGA are courses that he has designed.
Mm-hmm.
So,
a couple on Hilton Head Island.
Right. The main one on, yeah, the main one on Hilton Head that they used for one of the tournaments. He did that one as well. You know, and I've been thinking about this age thing. Well, Vern brought it to full circle with me a couple of weeks ago when he told me people don't think, or you saw, I think, a comedian or something that said, well, people don't look at how many years they have left now. They say you got 15 summers.
It was, this was Deion Cole. Deion Cole says he'll tell people, it's like, hey, you got 10 summers left.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, when you put it that way, it's different. But yeah.
And he was 94. Yes. So, you know, hopefully we all can make it that long.
I was
and
say, he got like full value for
right,
it.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And he wasn't.
You're right, Whistling. He did do Whistling Straits.
Right. And he wasn't, you know, at that age, he was still up and around and doing stuff. And,
really?
And yeah.
That's what's important to me.
Right.
Like,
yeah, exactly. That's true.
If I'm going to get 90, 95, I don't want to be in somebody's chair or bed and just laying around and looking out the window. You know what I mean?
No quality of life.
Yeah, right. You know, that's a tough way to spend, you know, a few years before. Yeah, you know what I mean? Not that I'm saying if I'm like that, end it. I'm just, you know, it's just.
Got it. Cool.
That's tough.
Kill order from Claude.
Right. Like, it's just that's tough. Right, you know what I mean? To for that to be, you know, your life.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But so. he seemed to have, again, seemed to be healthy, and it was just time that got him. It wasn't, you know, some, you know, crippling illness or whatever. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, whatever. So I mean, that's something to be happy for. For him, well,
and
I don't know how his family
life,
feels about it, but
and
yeah,
successful life and golf.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, and yeah, they didn't want for anything. That's
no,
for sure.
No.
Right.
So, and he left, and he still, his kids are still, like, PB is still designing courses as well. Mm-hmm. So, just the family. It is the family business now.
Yep.
So
nice. Good for them. Yeah. Good for them. Do you have anything on PB Dive?
All that's Pete, great.
So real quick before we get out of the segment, there's some Corn Ferry Tour stuff you wanted to hit, LB. And by the way, a popular segment with some of the listeners too. They like you bringing up the Corn Ferry stuff.
Yeah.
Gotta admit, I laughed about it when you first started talking about it a few episodes ago, but it's popular.
I had to look it up, like, as you were speaking about
it's
it.
Like, ah,
Oh yeah.
Let's see what the internet says about it.
Well, the Corn Ferry Tour, their season's about to kick off, and it's January 12th to the 15th. Their first tournament is called the Bahama Great Exuma Classic at Sandals Emerald Bay.
Okay.
Wow.
Right. Sandals Resort.
Yep. Right. So the course is designed by Greg Norman. It's a 7,100 par 72 course. A couple of things that has stuck out to me when I saw the title and I looked it up, and Coach B can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe when Maria and Glenn were getting married and decided that they were going to get married at a Sandals Resort, I believe Coach was hoping. I don't think he told them that she might want to go to this resort,
right.
But I think he. Secretly, or if he didn't tell them that he wanted them to, he secretly wanted them.
He told
them
now.
Right. I should ask Coach before I put his business out.
No, that's all right.
Before we release this podcast.
But he was hoping that they would have picked this particular Sandals Resort. I believe it's pretty new. From what I can see in the pictures, it was beautiful.
Right.
And that part of the Bahamas is nice,
really,
as
nice.
Well.
Okay.
We could have got to play course, on this. We would have been playing that course as opposed to the course we played in Jamaica.
Right.
So the other part of that, this is something that you all, I'm sure, don't know, is that Exuma Sound, that's where the Navy does research.
Oh.
Because there's a trench basically that runs between some of the islands that goes down to 6,000 feet.
Is that the Marianas Trench?
No.
Oh, okay.
Mm-mm. It's
okay.
Called Great Exuma Sound.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Cool.
Wow. I didn't know.
Well,
that.
I knew that because I used to do submarine research data analysis.
Oh, for the test they were doing.
And, yeah, and that's where that data would come from. That's where they would test the submarines in that area. We would get the data and process it. And that's how I met Mrs. Brooks, processing data for the submarines.
Oh, look at that.
How about that?
Nice.
See, full circle.
It all comes full circle.
It all comes full circle.
We'll be back full circle with more Talk on Golf DMV, brought to you in part by our Cache Spine Sports website, CacheSpineSports.com.
Hey, this is LB from Golf DMV. You're listening to this podcast right now. How about advertising to people who are just like you? Email us at golfdmvpodcast@gmail.com for more information.
It's the Golf DMV podcast on 1500 AM. That's Federal News Network if you're in the DMV worldwide. I mean, everywhere that has internet access anyway. Because there are parts of the world that don't have internet access, which is a travesty and a crime, I think.
Yes.
I think everywhere should have internet access.
Absolutely.
Right? GolfDMVPodcast.com is the website for all your normal podcast platforms. LB's in Studio B, what's up?
Hey.
We've got Vern in Studio. Vern, what's up?
What's that?
We're going to talk a little bit about some golf. We play some winter golf. I know it's already 2020, by the time you're hearing this podcast. But we ended the year in 2019 with two rounds. Well, you guys played two rounds. I played one.
Right.
Played Hampshire Greens. And we played Blue Mash.
Yeah, Hampshire Greens on Christmas Eve.
Well, let's talk about this Christmas Eve round.
I was trying to think, when was that?
Yeah, Christmas Eve.
You had Hampshire Greens. It was Vern, LB, Glenn, and Rick. And Rick McCormick.
Rick McCormick.
Were there any Rick McCormick moments?
Oh, there's always a Rick McCormick moment anytime a Rick McCormick is in present. I told him on the round. I said, dude, I don't know what we do without you. Because you give us content every time you show up. You do something or say something.
Yes.
That is content that is podcast worthy.
And everybody's group has people like this. You're listening to this podcast and everybody's listening like, yeah, we've got a guy just like that. Mm-hmm. That there's always just something.
Never ready. Always on. What hole is this? Whose ball is that? Just driving around in the middle of the fairway.
Hey, get off the green with the cart. You can't take it up there. Let's talk about Hampshire Green Christmas Eve.
The weather was cool.
I remember it was set to be like, first it was like 55, and then as we went on, it went down to 49.
Right.
And low key, Glenn's only been playing with us for a little while. He just wanted to make sure we were going to, because I told him, I said, hey, if it gets too cool, we'll probably back out. Mm-hmm. So like the night before, when it was 49, he was like, hey, we still going, right? I was like, yeah, of course. He's like, all right, I just want to show up. And y'all be at home sipping hot chocolate. I said, no, we wouldn't do that to you. But so it's 49 degrees. Forecast, but I think it ended up being about 55.
Nice.
Toward the end. Because the first nine, I needed a drill to drill through the tee box to put our tees in the ground. We could barely get our tees in
the ground.
The ground
was frozen solid. Oh, you were basically like getting the very tip of the tee in and balancing your ball on and hitting off like 4-inch tees.
Yeah. Because you could not get them in the ground. Mm-hmm. So that was just, I'm trying. Oh, they didn't have any of the tee boxes marked either. Yeah. They took away all the markings off the tee boxes.
Yeah, choose your own adventure.
Right. So a lot of holes, we were just doing it from memory. Like, we should hit from this one.
Right.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Right.
Why did they take away the markers is beyond me.
Again, I'll tell you, man, winter golf in the Northeast is just, you know, like, give us your money and just go out there hitting balls so you don't feel like hitting them.
Have fun.
I don't care what you do.
Have fun. Rick did bring his coat hanger for his clubs.
He did.
I did take a picture. I meant to post that on Instagram.
Did he say anything at all about us making fun of that?
No,
he's proud of his purchase.
He probably doesn't listen to the show anymore.
Because we make so much fun
towels
of him.
Towels are overrated. Right.
So who rode with Rick?
I did.
Okay. Yeah, how much did he talk about his new clubs?
New club? No, not at all. He didn't talk about his new clubs at all. He's satisfied with those. He just kind of wanted to. He was happy to get out and hit or whatever. I tried to get him out here today, but he had to go to work. I know
people do that.
I don't know what's wrong with him.
I know.
I did have one little beef with him early on in the round. So on the way in, I normally make a smoothie every morning. That particular morning, because I got up a little late, I didn't make one. Mm-hmm. So I was hungry. So I actually called the golf course on the way to see if the grill was going to be open. And he wasn't sure. So I took that as a no.
Right.
So I stopped.
What time was the tee time?
9:50.
If he's not sure if the grill's going to be open, it's not.
Yeah, exactly.
It's too late in the morning for you not to know.
Right. So I stopped at Dunkin' Donuts. So I text Ryan, it's like, hey, you know, you eat donuts, what flavor you like, that kind of stuff.
Right.
So, of course, I wasn't going to come back with just a couple of donuts. I wasn't just going to think about myself. I know I'm playing with some other people.
Right.
So I got a dozen donuts, right? So I get to the course and we all get up to the first tee. And I say, hey guys, I got donuts here in my cart.
Very thoughtful, very generous.
Help yourself.
Very thoughtful.
You know what I mean, help yourself. Yes. Just eat the chocolate ones. I got chocolate ones. I don't like chocolate ones. Mm-hmm. Just make sure y'all eat the chocolate ones.
Right.
Save me some of the better ones. Right. But it's all good. So as I'm partaking of the donuts, Rick goes in his bag and pulls out a donut.
Wait. So as you guys have the donuts, he goes in his bag and pulls out
a donut out of his golf bag.
Yeah, just so you know, his own donut, his own individual
his own donut.
Donut.
Yeah. Right.
A donut.
A donut. One donut. So I said, Rick, You got donuts? No, he said, no, I just got one. I said, so let me understand this. You stopped and got that? He said, yeah, I was hungry, so I stopped and got a donut. I said, and you didn't think about the rest of us that we might want a donut? I mean, you know.
Meanwhile, LB stops and gets donuts. I prepare cider the morning of and bring for all four of us.
Yes.
Right.
And Rick stops and, you know.
He gets a donut for himself.
Single donut for himself.
And you brought them in the Yeti cups that keeps it warm for a long time.
It's around.
I was telling my wife about this because you did the same thing the last time we played.
Yeah, when it's cold, it's just a thing that I do.
He brought it out. I was telling my wife about it. She put a Yeti cup on her Christmas list because I was raving about it.
So next time I'll just bring just enough for me. Just
there you go.
8 ounces of cider.
Yep.
But yeah, he sure enough did. Just was like, oh, that's my own donut. And then, but I added to it. I told LB didn't notice at the end of the round. Mm-hmm. He took the remaining donuts home with him. That LB brought. No. And to add insult to injury, it never was there an exchange of money. Never was there. Hey, how much was this? Or thank you for these.
Yeah, just like, good idea, LB. You had something.
You need donuts? That's a sucker's game. I'll take these.
Exactly why we like to bring Rick McCormick to play, because there's these moments.
Yes,
like,
the stories are endless.
Come on, man.
Yeah, but like LB was saying, the front nine was hella cold. Like right around the turn, though. Sun came out, wasn't cloudy, and it started to warm up, and it got a little bit nicer or whatever. So
how'd we do?
Yeah. Well, I ended with 94.
It was a practice round for me.
So we fast forward from that.
We're going to talk about the betting. Vern has slowly, and you know, I've told you before, I do not like to gamble with golf.
I'm trying.
And Vern has been slowly working on it. And the last two rounds now, we have actually gambled.
Okay.
Yes.
On golf, you know, spots, not for the whole round, but like, you know, on this hole, who can hit the green, stuff like that.
I think it was like a whole fifth, that par
15
three.
15 to par three. It's really short. It's like 110 yards, par three.
Yeah, we hadn't been playing particularly well. I was just like, you know what, this could be fun. I was like, let's just do closer to the pin. Right. And then, of course, I rise to the occasion and I hit closer to the pin.
He actually gets a birdie.
Yeah. I do string it along. I say, hey, just $2, and everybody's in for that. Yeah. And then when I hit it close, I said, all right, double or nothing that I make this birdie putt. If I make it, all your debts absolved. If I miss it, you know, you guys owe me another $4.
Right.
And I made it, of course. Now, I blew it when I was feeling myself on hole 16.
Yeah.
That very short par four that I should be able to drive that I always do trash at. I was playing poorly at. And I was like, you know what? If I par this, you guys owe me another $5 or whatever. And if I don't, then all your monies, you don't owe me anything.
Right.
So, and I made bogey. But I will say, though, there's something about having a bet on the line for me made me
makes
stop.
You focus in.
Yeah, I don't know. I did lollygag. I become focused on just striking the ball. Yeah, so it was weird.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it, though. We tried it today with much less success, which I guess we'll get to.
Yeah, that's right. We owe him $5, don't we?
Yeah, we do. We owe Claude $5.
No, we'll get into it. We'll discuss this on the podcast.
We're on the podcast.
We're on the podcast. We'll discuss it later on the show. Hampshire Green, I mean, for winter, good conditions. I mean,
It was
Hampshire Green.
The greens were like really hard. Like the ground was really hard.
They were frozen. I mean, just like the tee box, you couldn't get. They would your ball a lot of times would not stay on the green.
Yeah, you hit the green like in the front, and it's off the back.
Yeah, right. It would roll right off because it was frozen. So.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah. So the Friday after Christmas, which is actually the day we're recording this podcast, the 27th, we played a morning round at Blue Mash.
Yeah.
10:30 tee time. We get there. When we got there, I mean, there were folks playing, but it was relatively empty for the most part.
Empty,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We get out there, we start, and I pull up. These guys are already at the range.
Right.
Vern's hitting, LB's hitting. I pull up 10 minutes before tee time. I go ahead and I pay, get in the cart, and I the first thing I tell Vern is, My thought for today is I'm just happy to get out and play golf today.
Right.
I don't know, it's a bonus round.
Right.
Not really focused on anything. Mm-hmm. I come out par,
yep,
plus three, then par.
Yeah.
And the rest of the round is pretty much basic the way that it normally goes.
It is interesting that you can have the perspective of like, you know what, I'm just happy to get out before the round starts, because really that statement has hope built into it.
Right.
And then when you get to 18, you don't know how happy you are just to have been out. You just kind of like, well, whatever, it's golf, I guess.
Right.
It's not the same enthusiasm.
And that's exactly how it went down. Blue Mash, again, you know, always Blue
always
Mash.
Wins. I mean, you know, Blue Mash always wins.
Yeah. Always in good condition. It is interesting because this was the first season that I went in when they had the simulator out.
Yeah.
It is odd to have it in the pro shop.
Yeah.
I mean, the space is just kind of cut
tight.
Yeah,
I walked in and was like, what is this? I thought they were doing construction.
Like, literally, if you're not careful, you'll walk through the door and you'll walk right into the simulator.
Yeah.
Careful, you just bump it. You know what I mean?
I was like, it seems like they can put it outside, but I guess it's a heating. I assume it's a heating issue or something.
Maybe
like
so. Maybe. Because they've got the section, they got the patio closed off.
That's true.
And so I'm thinking, why can't they just put it out there?
There's no heat out there, though.
Oh, yeah.
Man. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it'd be
so maybe
cold.
It's a thing.
You need like
machine.
A space heater. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, but there you go. Yeah. Anything from this round in particular? I'm trying to.
Not for me.
Not really. Oh, wait. Hole number 17.
Hole 17.
Yeah, so that was the hole where. Why don't you go through it?
It's par three. It's
yeah,
a par three.
Yeah, yeah. Hole, again, par three. We had all, again, not played very. So actually, this one I was able to get a score. I got a 92. Barely. But and I had to take a six on this par three. So we got up here. We hadn't been playing particularly well. So I'm like, cool. Let's do the betting thing again. It's 139 yards, something like that.
40.
Yeah, 40. Yeah, yeah, buck 40. Buck 40, par three. Not long. Hey, closest to the hole. Now, for those who don't know, there's water on Blue Mash, like around hole 17 and 10 and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it is frozen.
Yep.
So there were like balls like sitting up on the water.
As we drove past 17, I counted. There were 17 balls.
Yeah.
On the ice.
Yep, just sitting out there.
Just sitting on the ice.
So I think you went first, right, LB?
No, I went first.
Oh, you did. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I went last. I was last.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Claw went first.
In the ice.
Yeah, in the ice. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then I probably put mine well into the ice. Mm-hmm. And then LB did the same.
Well, mine hit and then rolled back into the ice. That's right. I didn't see it. It made it across and then rolled back because I thought I hit. It sounded like it had hit the green.
Right.
But it apparently not.
Hit the bank and came back.
And so none of us made it on the green.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I told him it was the most pitiful skins bet you'd ever seen. So then we all dropped the hit again. This time I think Claude makes the green. He's the only one.
In the sand trap.
Right. Close. I mean, he made it to land.
Right.
I hit what I thought was like, I'm like, yeah, crushed a good shot. And then boom, promptly right into the water again.
Yeah, and I hit mine, the second one into the woods to the left.
Right. Oh wow! Yeah. Okay, I thought you went in the water. You went left. Oh, okay,
left into the woods.
Ooh.
Now the reason I think you don't owe anything is because we didn't say that. Okay, we're going to go again. I did.
So what I did was I did the slick thing of I hit the shot and when it was in the air I was like, yeah, we're betting again. So I do owe you $5. No, I waited until I hit it and saw it in flight. It was like,
The cider makes it even. It's all good. Okay. The cider was great. All right. So yeah, we had fun at Blue Mash. We ran into Joe Hills, the owner there at Blue Mash. He listens to the show, so he knows we only have good things to say about Blue Mash and
right.
Waverly.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Not that we're for kickbacks, but, you know.
But we are.
Yeah. No, I don't have good things to say about Waverly.
I'm joking. You know?
It's a fun course, though, right?
I don't know if it's fun. I don't know. It's never been fun for me.
It's tough. It's a tough course. But it's usually in good condition, though, right?
Right.
I'll give it condition-wise, yes.
Right.
Yeah, but the fun factor for me is zero.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny because when we saw Joe, we were talking. I said, yeah, man, you know, we always have fun playing the course. And then everyone was like, speak for yourself.
No, it wouldn't beat my ass today.
Yeah, I said the course didn't beat us down there. You're like, yeah, speak for yourself.
Oh, somebody said that.
And Joe just kind of laughed at that.
I have fun with Blue Mash. But I think I like Blue Mash, for all we talk about it, everything being like great condition, customer service, the actual course itself is a nice challenge. You got these really long par fours.
Yeah, long.
Which open up
fours.
With a nice short one. They seem to balance it really well. It's like, hey, there's some of this is gettable, and then some of these other ones are going to be kind of tough.
Yeah, it feels like the front nine is tougher than the back. And it starts pretty tough. It starts long and kind of tough. Yeah, yeah. And then by the time you get to 10, you feel like, okay, the pace is picking up. Right. You know, you got some gettable holes there on
exactly,
the back.
Exactly.
Yeah, 10 is not, for most people, a hard hole.
It's one of the ones I do best at. But the one that gets me all the time is 15, that sharp dog leg right, or 16, whatever it is.
Left.
The sharp, no, to the right. The one that goes around the tree, the one where I hit the tree today. And
Yeah.
Which is also not long, but for some reason I keep pick driver there every time.
And to the naked eye, it doesn't seem hard.
I can't resist.
Right.
Yeah. Good time here today. I was glad to get out.
Yeah, yeah, it was fun. Now, speaking of today's round, I had an opportunity to play. So, did I share the fact that I lost my wedding ring?
No.
I do media all over the DMV, so I don't know whether on this show I talked about that.
No,
so anyway,
this one, no.
Was bowling with my wife and her cousins. I take my ring off for everything athletic because I'm left-handed. And then I cut my finger somehow. And so I had a Band-Aid on it. The ring wouldn't fit, so I took it off. At home, I don't know where I put it.
Ooh.
So I can't find it. And I mean, this is lost. It's been a week. Okay. So anyway, I went to Dick's Sporting Goods and got one of those sport rings. And so because I normally take my ring off to play golf.
Right.
I didn't today.
Well, what is a sports ring?
So it's like this. It's just this.
It's rubber.
Plastic. Yeah, it's like a rubber band.
For those who are listening, he's holding a rubber silicone.
Silicone is basically what it is.
Yeah, it's like a silicone band.
And so it's I said, you know what? I'm going to try. And I got a replacement ring because my mom sold Avon. And it was like $16 for Christmas. So I bought a replacement one from Avon. Put money in my mother's pockets and got me another one. But I got the silicone one. And I said, okay, I'm going to play in it.
Right.
it feels like you don't even have one on.
Really?
It's perfect.
Yeah, because it's not firm. It's not hard. Okay. Yeah.
I never take my wedding band off. Nothing.
Really?
I mean, I've been working on a car, whatever. I never take it off.
Yeah, mine is. It never was really on there. I mean, that's not indicative of anything. I'm a mostly good person, but I would play with it all the time because when we first had it on, like the first couple of years, I just couldn't get used to the feeling of it, whatever. Right, yeah. Right. So I would just leave it like on the nightstand. Okay. That's just kind of where it was. Whatever. Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I lost mine one time, and I lost it in the house.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my wife found it. But I didn't know she had found it. So I'm like scouring, I'm like, damn, where did I lose my ring? I don't know where it's at. I'm looking everywhere. And for about a week, I'm panicking, like, what did I do with this ring? And then finally one day, she puts me out of my misery and say, here, are you looking for this? I'm like, God, I've been looking for that for all week.
Like, why would you hold this? Why would you give it back to me early?
She was just torturing me.
It'd be funny if you had been like, what's that?
I got my ring. Whose ring is that?
What's that for?
Exactly.
So didn't you lose your ring when we played at Whiskey
Creek?
Right.
Because the guy in the cart came out and said, somebody leave their ring. Yeah, exactly. This happens to me all the time because I take it off because I can't play with it on. And then, I mean, I can't play, but it's more uncomfortable to play with it on.
Right.
I feel like I'm better without it.
So we're doing the silicone ring now.
Yeah, man. It works good. It works great.
Yeah.
So maybe I should take mine off and see if I play better.
Sure.
Yeah. It's rough a shot at this point. You know what I mean?
Anything.
I'm grasping at straws.
Yeah. Now, speaking of LB grasping at straws, a golf DMV, somewhat, I don't know about controversy, but you purchased some pants and proceeded to try them on. And then he sends a text to our little group. I think Coach B was on this text
Coach
as well.
And Rodney.
On this text. And you say, what did you say? You like the pants and just. Too tight.
Yeah. So when I bought them,
he said it's clawed tight.
Clawed tight. Yeah, I had bought I get these emails all the time from all these companies that are selling stuff. So golf related. So I got this email about these pants. I'm like, oh, this is cool. They were Adidas. I like the pattern. It was a different, like a houndstooth pattern almost. Right. Pattern on them, blue. I'm like, okay, I'll take those. They had my size, good price. They wasn't even $30.
Okay.
So I was like, click. I'll take those. Then when they came, I pulled them out of the package. I'm like, hey, I didn't see anything about skinny legs.
And by skinny legs, for those who don't know, it means they fit. They fit his legs normal.
Right. Yeah. A normal fit for his size.
Yeah, skinny legs. Okay. They're kind of tight around the ankle.
Okay, it's got a tapered.
Yeah, really tapered. Half.
That's hot, man.
Here's the deal. I was talking to my wife about this. So back in the 80s, this is a long time ago. You may not remember these. Well, that's right. You may not have been born. My fault.
82.
So my father had a bunch of, he's calling them pencil legs, I think, or something like that back in the day.
Okay.
That was just the style.
Okay.
Basically, the style that's out now is the same style that was back out in the 50s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in the 50s and 60s.
All right.
So my father had a bunch of slacks that he had in his closet.
Right.
That were of that style. So I took those pants in the 80s, had them altered, and I wore them because back in the 80s, we were doing retro stuff.
What do you say? Well, I had them altered how?
So they weren't long. My father's 6'2".
Oh,
six,
okay.
So,
okay. Okay.
Obviously, I'm not 6'2".
Oh, so this altered so that they would fit you.
So they would fit me.
But you would wear them as they were.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So that style, I've worn that style before.
Okay. Okay.
Back, but again, I'm talking in the 80s.
Right.
We wore that style.
You thought you were done with that?
Yeah.
Now we're back around.
Now we're back at it again. We're hitting the same styles have come back around.
But the pants are clearly fresh because you must have tried them on and looked at them and said, I look pretty fly in these joints.
No, I tried them on and I wasn't sure. I still haven't worn them yet.
Okay.
I had planned to wear them today, but the person that lives with me that does my laundry had left them in the dryer too long and they got wrinkled. So somebody needs to get the wrinkles out, right. That somebody's not
it's
me.
Not you, of course.
So, so they're still in the closet.
But you haven't given them away.
So I have not given them away. I will wear them. I feel like you
like these pants.
I like the pattern. I really like the pattern.
Right.
I feel like you like the fit.
I don't know. We'll see.
Give it time.
Yeah, we'll have to see.
First few compliments he gets coming in from people, like, oh, it's a sharp pant, sir. Well, yeah, thank you.
Because I feel like you, like this year has been a big year for you with golf pants, actually, as opposed to just like, khakis or slacks.
Right.
You wore a lot of golf pants this year.
Yeah. I actually bought pants that were made for golf.
Because
before, I would wear regular slacks.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. But even those slacks that I have been wearing, they were Izod. So they were from the Izod store. So I'm assuming they are golf related.
Okay, like the golf pants you wore today, the dark blue ones.
Well, actually, these are these are something that somebody gave me. I think that somebody would be you.
I gave you those?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because I noticed today. I was like, oh, looks like he's actually wearing golf pants and not Dickies. He looks like he just got off.
I wear Dickies.
He looks like he just got off work from the auto shop.
That makes sense. I look at the pants and I go, those are some sharp pants that we got on there.
You gave me these.
Nice.
Yeah, you gave me. I think they were too short for you or something.
Oh, a little too baggy. They were kind of short. I was like, these pants are too baggy. I need something tighter.
Quote unquote classic fit.
Yeah, classic. Yeah. Boot cut. That's okay, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
That whole thing. And so, Vern, you had talked about perhaps getting some new clubs. Because you didn't get any new irons this past year.
The Mizunos are what, they 2 years old?
The Mizunos are 2 years old.
Okay.
So they're pretty much,
they gotta go.
They're pretty
this
much
by the way, go. This by the way is something new for Vern, because you see this at least one pair of new irons every season.
Yeah, up until the kids were born. Yeah. So now I have to like
those little money grabbers.
Now I gotta pace myself. Because I gotta pay for the education. I'll probably end up getting some new irons, actually. I was telling Glenn. Glenn was talking about getting fitted for club. I was like, well, if you're not going to do it, just wait. Just wait till the summer. Mm-hmm. Then you can have my old, I think they're JPX 825s or whatever. So, did I get new irons this year? I think I did. Those are new. See? Hot metal. Those are the hot metal 919s. Yeah, it's got 19 in it. Well, you know, it's whatever. So,
yeah, we're going into 20 now.
Yeah, we're going into 20. It's a different number. Irons fly
old
different.
New decade, man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I can't play with decade old irons. It's funny you say that, because I was telling these guys in between the shows that, Sky Caddy sent me a message because I had the Sky Caddy, I think, SX350. Mm-hmm. Now the SX400 is out.
Ooh.
It makes the 350 obsolete. So
it looks like you got to make a purchase.
Yeah, I mean, it's
you're
seems
in
that
sale
way.
Somewhere. Get a couple bucks off of it. That should be a good deal there. But you had some Corn Fairy tour information you wanted to pass along. By the way, I guess let's do you want to do Corn Fairy or you want to do Hank Haney?
Corn Fairy is real quick. Okay. Just quick.
By the way, you get a lot of love from the listening audience for your Corn Fairy tour.
It's worth paying attention to. Right. So they did December 15th, 12th through 15th at the Orange National in Orlando. They did a Q School finals for the Q School. So the way they do that, the first place winner receives full exemption for the tour.
Oh.
So they actually had a tie this year for first place. They call it the medalist.
Okay.
It was Brandon Thornberry and Curtis Thompson won both at a minus 21. They tied.
Did they both get it, or did they have to do like a knife fight or something?
No,
they do it. Oh, okay. Okay, that's good.
Rock, paper, scissors or something. Yeah. So they both got a fully exempt for the Corn Fairy Tour for 2020. Finishers 2 through 10, they get guaranteed entry into the first 12 events for the Corn Fairy Tour. Hmm. And 11 through 40, they get guaranteed entry into 8 tournaments that way.
Okay.
So in the remainder of the field, they just receive conditional status, whatever that means. But so what was for me that was interesting, I had played that course before. So it's in Orlando. They have two 18 hole courses and a 9 hole course.
What's the name of the course again?
Orange National.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's normally where their whole Q School is. That's like what they do.
Oh, really?
They normally hold it there. I played that course a long time ago. My wife and I played it, so that tells you how long ago it was.
Because
she ain't played golf now, 10 years or something like that. So, we hacked the place up. You know, we didn't know what we were doing.
Sure.
But it was just because I had played it, it caught my attention. So that's it for the Corn Fairy. They start their first tournament, I want to say it's in February, but I could be wrong.
Okay.
When their season starts.
Interesting. And we got a Hank Haney sues the PGA tour, I think.
Yeah, I'm sure you all may have seen this. And I want you to read some of this too, Vern.
Okay.
When we get to that part there. So Hank Haney is suing the PGA. I'll just read some of this to you so I don't have to. So Hank Haney, one of the most recognizable and successful instructors in the game, filed a lawsuit against the PGA Tour on Wednesday, December 18th in U.S. District Court in the Southern District of Florida. Haney alleges in his lawsuit that the tour has a vendetta against him and is seeking damages for the harm the PGA caused him when it improperly intimidated, enticed, and threatened Sirius XM Radio to suspend and ultimately terminate Haney's radio broadcast on Sirius XM PGA Tour station following comments he made surrounding the U.S. Open women, Women's Open. So I don't know if you all have heard that. Now, here's his, I want you to read what his, because I didn't know what his comments were.
Okay.
And then I read the comments.
You want me to read this section? Right?
What he says.
The transcript.
Yes.
Someone says, Hank, the 74th U.S. Women's Open is this week, Johnson began. Hank Haney says, I'm going to predict a Korean will win, Haney responded.
I do remember this.
Quote, that's going to be my prediction. I couldn't name you like six players on the LPGA tour. Maybe I could. Well, I'd go with Lee if I didn't have to name a first name. I'd get a bunch of them right. Quote, honestly, Michelle Wee's hurt. I don't know anybody.
Why would they suspend him for that? But the funny thing about that, wasn't the lady who won that, wasn't her last name Lee like six or something like that, because there were six of them on there with that, or multiple Lees with that last name?
It might have been. He did issue an apology. I feel like I have to read that really.
Yeah.
This quote, this morning I made some comments about women's professional golf and its players that were insensitive and I regret, he said. In an effort to make a point about the overwhelming success of Korean players on tour, I offended people and I am sorry. I have the highest respect for the women who have worked so hard to reach the pinnacle of their sport, and I never meant to take away their abilities and accomplishments. I've worked in this game with men and women players from many different cultures, and I look forward to continuing to do so.
Jiang Jin Lee was the winner.
Yeah. Well, so
it does make the joke funny.
Yeah. No, right. But
I understand. I understand.
I mean, honestly, I thought it was funny what he was saying, even though it was totally inappropriate and everything. Right. But it was funny.
There was another
Lee that tied at number 11. I'm petty.
So I do find the language, though, the vendetta of the PGA and all this other stuff. I mean, I'm not saying he should have been canceled either.
Another Lee at 43?
Yeah.
Lee at 56? It's not, you know, it's not my style to defend an old white man when it comes to this kind of stuff. I get it.
I'm with you. I don't think he should have been canceled either. Uh-huh. The language sounds strong, though. Vendetta. Like maybe
there was more to this, too. So it says, aside from the alleged pressure of the tour put on XM, Sirius XM, Haney's lawsuit laid out other examples of the tour acting in bad faith, including their response to the release of his tell-all book, The Big Miss, My Years Coaching Tiger Woods in 2012,
right,
which Haney accused the tour of wanting to settle an old score related to professional golfer Tiger Woods. It says Hank Haney is suing the PGA Tour for carrying out a year-long vendetta and alleging the tour suppressed sales of The Big Miss, canceled the Haney project, that show he had
on the Golf Channel.
Right, yeah. So they canceled that. They squashed various other deals even before his recent firing for his radio show. Because apparently, I'm trying to find this right quick. Apparently, he had sales. Here you go. At the time of the release in 2012, as a substantive content of the book became public through previews, the PGA Tour induced the PGA Tour Superstore, PGA Tour Shops, to cancel previously placed orders of the Big Miss.
Right.
No.
The lawsuit said, upon information and belief, the PGA Tour further induced smaller shops to back out of their pre-orders of the book as well.
Right.
So he had people already had placed orders for the book.
Right.
The PGA said, don't sell that.
Yeah.
Like the mob basically coming in and saying, we're not doing that. You're not selling that. Yeah. And they're like, okay, I'll cancel my order.
Of course.
Yeah. Who knew the PGA was like that?
Right.
I mean, but when you think about it.
Listen, I don't think it's right, but look, this is in any closed system, it's PGA, cops, whatever you're dealing with. I mean, you start running your mouth, you start snitching.
Right.
The powers that be might now feel some kind of way about it. Unless you're writing a tell-all book about somebody who's like a villain about your thing and they're on your side, that's one thing. But it might not just be the PGA, too. It might have been Tiger in the back like, hey, man, I don't know how I feel about this book.
Right.
We got you. Yeah, because Tiger could have easily gone to the PGA and press... I can't say pressure the PGA, but he may have that kind of pull.
I know he wasn't feeling this, and there was another unauthorized biography written about him. I think just called Tiger or something like that, where he was like, yeah, you know, he was like, I don't sanction any of this stuff in here. I think written by a journalist or something like that. But yeah, so I don't know how. I'm not surprised at the PGA. Now that that makes sense. He started snitching. He was snitching. Yeah. He was running your mouth. Yeah. Tell him the secrets.
There you go. We all know what happens to snitches.
Snitches. Hey, Tuesday radio show.
Yeah, at the worst, it is the radio show. There we go. Speaking of radio shows, thank you guys for listening to Golf DMV. We'll be back next week on Golf DMV.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet. Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.